from the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, with two-man coverage of the red and gold, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
It's Locked On Chiefs. We're at the midpoint of the week, and we're starting to look forward towards this playoff game against the Tennessee Titans. I'm Ryan Tracy, the founder of Rogue Analytics, and one of the analysts over at ChiefsDigest.com. Thanks for listening today.
I'm Chris Clark. I am a staff writer for Head Addict, and I am the editor of LockedOnChiefs.com. Hope you've been checking that website out. It has a lot of great stories. Just did a story on, okay, I'll go with it, my boy, Albert Wilson.
Your boy, huh? Wow, what a turnaround one season will do.
Just to, you know, play to people, because I know I'm going to get a bunch of comments about that. But go ahead and hit us up on Twitter on LockedOnChiefs.com or LockedOnChiefs or Chris Clark NFL or Ryan Tracy NFL. Thank you all for listening. Go give us an iTunes rating or review and enter yourself for a PFF Edge subscription. All you have to do is leave your Twitter handle.
Now, that subscription still gives you grades and all kinds of stuff that are going to be important for the playoffs. So it's still worth the effort and an interesting tool to use this time of year. Also, we're adding people to LockedOnChiefs.com. It's going to be growing over the offseason. We have some cool stuff planned for you. So thanks for your patience there. We're going to start the turn towards looking ahead. We're going to talk to Seth tomorrow. Probably be a lot of talk about some young quarterback that we might all know. We'll also touch on Tennessee then. But what I want to start looking at today is what this team really needs to specify. I think, honestly, I don't know how you feel, but I feel they got the best matchup they could have gotten with the way the final week fell in terms of getting the Titans at home.
Yeah, I would have wanted to play the Titans as opposed to the Ravens, although, you know, Buffalo doesn't scare me near as much, especially considering they may be without McCoy. But, you know, I'll take the Titans. The Titans don't look like they're playing very well right now, and Marcus Mariota has not had the sophomore season that you were expecting after he played so well his first year.
Yeah, certainly on the offensive side of the ball, they've had their struggles. You know, they've got a solid run game. They can move the ball on the ground. They've gone back and forth between Murray and the young kid Derrick Henry out of Alabama, a former teammate of Reggie Ragland's. I think that's going to be an interesting thing here that no one's really talking about yet. But former teammates are going to be meeting head-to-head a lot on Saturday.
Well, yeah, especially considering DeMarco Murray missed practice on Tuesday. You would imagine that there's a good chance if he's missing practice that he won't play. You know, maybe he is going to end up being able to play. But don't let it fool you. Derrick Henry is no slouch.
And I like the way he runs. He's got some burst. I think he's slimmed down a little bit since he came in the league. I think you see his high end a little bit better than it was. And he burned Jacksonville, one of the top defenses in this league, for a really long screen pass last week for a touchdown.
It's going to happen. He is a better running back than most give him credit for. And if he wasn't behind DeMarco Murray, he would be a legitimate threat at running back on a regular basis.
Now, the rest of their offense, like you said, they've been struggling in the passing game. They've got some interesting guys out there. Nobody that really makes you go, oh, I'm nervous about that. But
Delanie Walker makes me a little nervous with the way that the Chiefs have been handling tight ends this year.
Yeah, and that's exactly where I was going to. I think that's the matchup really to watch in that, you know, we're going to see Sorensen. We're going to see Murray. Hopefully they can get their wits about them because you look at the rest of what that offense wants to do through the air. Rashard Matthews, not that impressed. You know, Delanie's really the focus, I want to say. Eric Decker's over there now. If y'all missed that, he's no longer with the Jets. He's over in Tennessee. Not producing a whole lot, but definitely part of the offense. I think really their secondary strength is probably their backup tight end and Jonnu Smith. And if you can control the middle against this team, both in the run and with those tight ends, I think you're going to put yourself in a good position.
Can't argue with that because their wide receivers do not scare you.
No. And I think that's – this is the reason why I was feeling pretty good going into this matchup because with a week off, a little bit of rust, I think you get although Revis did play last week, but you have Steven Nelson and you have Marcus Peters that I think are going to be raring to go after a week's rest. And I think that's a good sign for them to have guys that they're not necessarily going to have to chase all over the field. Not a whole lot of flat out speed there, but man, they're going to have to come up and support the run.
Yep. It's a big thing for Peters to do.
Now, and the bigger thing for me is when we flip it over to the other side of the ball, looking at what they do defensively. And again, they're a middle tier team defensively. They're okay against the run. They struggle from time to time against the pass. You know, the big thing is for what the Chiefs want to do in terms of what they've done the last 4 weeks since Matt Nagy took over the play call, getting Kareem Hunt going. It's kind of a tall order with Jarrell Casey sitting there in the middle. Dick LeBeau is the coordinator here, the guy who was in Pittsburgh for a long, long time. Doesn't play the same style of 3-4 front that the Chiefs do. As I looked at the tape from what they did in stopping or slowing, at least, Leonard Fournette last week, a lot of A-gap shifts, trying to cover up those guards at the very least, some bare fronts that I think play to Casey's strengths himself, as well as helping out the rest of that defensive front.
Well, it's going to be very interesting to see what Kansas City is able to do against this team. This defense is, of all the defenses that they could face going into this playoff run, this defense is the one that least scares me. Pittsburgh's defense isn't great, but we saw what they were able to do Kansas City's offense earlier this year. You have New England being New England. And then you have Jacksonville, who's got a fantastic defense. And granted, they wouldn't see Jacksonville until the AFC Championship game, I believe. But, you know, it's going to be – this is the defense they should just put away.
Well, an interesting note that Trent Green brought up in last week's broadcast for the Jacksonville and Tennessee game, that no one player has more than 7.5 sacks for that team, yet they have over 40, fifth in the league in producing sacks. Out on the edge, Brian Arakpo, an aging player, but still a guy that can get it done from time to time. I think that matchup is going to be interesting with Eric Fisher, although I have to give Fisher the edge there. But something that harkens back, if he's healthy.
He was on the injury report today.
Oh, update me on that. I didn't see it.
Yeah, Eric Fisher was on the injury report as full participant in practice with his back. So we would assume that he's going to be playing, but that is not what you would like to hear going into a playoff game. Although no. I do think that Cameron Irving did very well.
Yeah, for Cam Irving playing against that front, I think he did as well. Definitely getting on to where he needs to be for this team. I expect Fisher to be just fine, whether he aggravated or something in practice with a week off. I don't expect him to miss anything, but I think that matchup is still going to be interesting, as well as Derek Morgan is the guy who leads them. He's their other outside linebacker. So you're going to have run stops up the middle. You're going to have pressure from the edges. And I think between Schwartz and Fisher, they're in good shape. And I think that helps them because I'm looking at what they do in the secondary, looking at how well they're coached by Dick LeBeau, who knows the insides and outs of the fire zone, as well as what I see is a lot of late shifts disguising their coverages, a lot of walking down into single high from what looks like a cover two shell to begin with. And I think that's something that Alex Smith is prepared for and can diagnose, but it also puts guys on islands. And I think that's a really good thing for both Travis Kelce as well as Tyreek Hill.
And it could be a very good thing for a couple of the other guys on in the Chiefs offense. I mean, you know, you're going to have Kareem Hunt that's going to be coming out of the backfield, getting the ball. You're going to have, you know, hopefully Albert Wilson is able to play on Sunday. You know, if you read my Chiefs article on him, they are 0-3 without Wilson this season. That is not a good sign going into this game.
No, and that's a serious point. And now that your boy is your boy again.
you're funny.
You know, that's a very, very good point because that's a part of this defense that can be exploited, I think. The low crosses behind the linebackers. I don't think their inside linebackers are anything to write home about. Solid players for sure, but I think they're exploitable in those mid zones and something that Albert Wilson eats on. So want to see him be ready to go. I have a feeling he's after last week's performance, he's not going to take any chances and he'll be out there. But I want to ask you about your thoughts defensively, first and foremost, and what you think they ought to do at the outside linebacker spot across from Justin Houston.
Well, I think you're still going to have to go with Frank Zombo. Against any team that has anybody that can run, you're going to have to play Frank Zombo because Tano Pastineau, in my opinion, is not ready to be there just yet. I do think you can sub him in at times, and especially in passing situations, and probably be okay, but I don't think you can rely on him to be that guy that's going to be a run stopper.
Yeah, and I think I agree with you there. I think what he did last week, though, bought him more snaps, even in a playoff game. I think that's they clearly left Frank Zombo out because they wanted to keep him rested. Certainly, they start him. But if they can continue to rest him and give K-Pass a few more snaps and take that much load off of Frank Zombo, I think that's a good thing. And I am looking forward, although no one wants to play specifically against Taylor Lewan, it's something that I think K-Pass is going to have to do, and I want to see him get a few more shots at pass rushing this week.
Well, and I think he's earned that. I think he played well enough to earn that. You know, the real interesting thing to me is going to be watching, hopefully, Raheem Nunez-Rochus is able to play because he was held out of practice again with an ankle injury, as was Albert Wilson and there are a couple other players that were held out because of injury. Phillip Gaines was held out because of injury as well. Denae Anthony Thomas was put on IR, and Akeem Hunt was put on IR.
You know, I feel really bad for Akeem Hunt. I felt like he just started to get a good run going. And who did they replace him with? Anybody we know?
No, just some dude named CJ Spiller. Never seen
like
him
before. It's like the seventh transaction with CJ Spiller this year.
Well, that's only if you don't count all the times he got cut.
No, that's true. But hey, good for him for sticking in and coming back. Obviously,
Marcus Kidd that got elevated.
I knew you were going to get there. What I just wanted to finish saying is it's good for him for coming back. He knows the offense, went through camp. He's familiar. They also got your Kendrick West back at practice on Tuesday as well. So now your boy Kemp, you were huge on him in the preseason with injuries and everything else. Do you think that he's ready? We've seen some players, even on the practice squad, make improvements this year, including Leon McQuay that we saw last week. Where do you think he stands?
You know, it wouldn't surprise me if he's going to be ready. I don't think he plays offense. I don't think that they have a need for him to play offense as long as you're going to have, you know, Albert Wilson out there. So I think he's just going to be the special teams guy. And I think he's a maven on special teams. I think that's going to be a fantastic thing for Kansas City. And that's not trying to take anything away from DeAnthony Thomas, but Kemp's size helps him. And I think he's really going to benefit from being able to do things on special teams. And then, you know, you also look at the fact that, you know, it's going to be Alex Smith throwing the ball, not Patrick Mahomes. If Mahomes is out there, Kemp was one of his favorite targets. So, And I'm not trying to say we should start Mahomes. I'm just stating what was going on in the preseason. Just get that out of your mind because that's not what I'm saying.
Everything has a precursor these days.
You know, you have to.
Well, here's the thing that I like about him, and I hope that if they should get up in this game, like I think they probably will, I would not mind seeing him play some in the fourth quarter because I think this is an opportunity like you had last week in getting some rest and getting some young guys snaps. If you can do that at playoff game level, I think that only helps you later down the line as you try to come up with everything that you're going to need all the way down the depth chart against teams like Pittsburgh and New England.
Yeah, I see where you're going with that. But if you're going to put Marcus Kemp in, you're not going to leave Alex Smith in. And do you really think Andy Reid wants to put Patrick Mahomes in a playoff game after the way he played last week against Denver?
No. And that brings me to my last question for you, because I think this is an interesting point that several have brought up, including the A-team. And I disagree with their take a little bit. But if Alex Smith is to struggle – either this game, next game, whatever, through a half, through three quarters. Has Pat Mahomes show you enough at this point that you that you're desperate enough to win a playoff game that you put him in and end Alex Smith's tenure with this team?
I guess it really depends on where you are in the game. If you are at the very end of the game, I think you have to leave Smith in. But if you're, you know, at halftime and you're down two scores or three scores and Smith just can't do anything, maybe you make that move. Alex Smith can't make half the throws that Pat Mahomes can make. So there's going to be a big uptick in ability to make plays. And I know Seth is going to talk about this on tomorrow's show, but, you know, there were several plays that, you know, Pat Mahomes gets outside the pocket and most QBs throw the ball away, and instead he makes a completion. Wasn't necessarily for a first down, but it was a completion. It you know, kept the drive alive a little bit, at least got him some yards.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to watch.
And so, you know, do you do that? I mean, here's the other thing. Pat Mahomes threw for almost 300 yards against the number two pass defense in the NFL without Tyreek Hill or Travis Kelce or Kareem Hunt most of the game.
It's a fair point.
Do you really wonder where – I mean, and this is something else I tweeted out today. Is anybody else surprised that Demetrius Harris caught or got two targets that were over 30 yards down the field? Because I don't think I've ever seen him get two targets where – or let alone one target where he's 30 yards down the field.
Shocked and appalled. That's all I'm going to say.
You can be appalled all you want. I actually was okay with it. I think he can run really well, but you just don't see it.
No, I think for that game, it was perfectly fine. And to his credit, he played better. I think that was an important thing to see from him if he's going to have a continued career in this league. And I don't know if it's going to be with the Chiefs or not, but I think he's shown enough that it's definitely going to be in the NFL. So,
and you have to be a little bit surprised because he was able to handle Mahomes' bullets and he can't handle Smith's throws. It just didn't make sense to me. And I'm not trying to be mean to Smith, but there's a complete difference in velocity there that is undeniable.
There is, but you have to remember also that I think Demetrius Harris has practiced and caught a lot more balls from Mahomes all season. So I think that's an important aspect of it as well.
Could be.
But like Chris said, folks, we have Seth tomorrow. We're going to have a great talk about the quarterback as well as going into this playoff game. And we're lucky enough to, from inside the pylon, Mark Schofield's going to be with us tomorrow. I'm not sorry, not tomorrow, on Friday, because that's the day after Thursday, because I'm a genius. But it's a great week coming up, leading up to this playoff game. I really am. I hate to tell you.
Okay. I guess I never knew.
It's news to you.
Yeah, very much.
But please stick with us. Chris will continue to give me crap, and we're going to talk to some great guests about what's going on with the Chiefs. Stay tuned with us. Thank you for listening today, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the Locked On Chiefs podcast. While you're out there, give us a rating or review and reach out to us on Twitter @RyanTreseyNFL and @ChrisClarkNFL. We'll talk to you next time.